find even in Christendom that even other Christians from other assemblies and gatherings, and even within our gatherings, we're very loose about what the Bible says. Even if it's just in the smallest matter, we sometimes don't realize that even though it's the smallest matter, it's still the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And building on what Dave was reading in Corinthians, we see that Satan's first move every single time is to attack the Word of mm-hmm. God. And building on the passage in Corinthians in Genesis 3, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God actually say?'" Did God actually say? Satan's first move will always, in whatever situation, will always be to attack the Word of God mm-hmm. and to question the Word of God and to bring error to it.
Mm-hmm. Another example of that is when he's testing Jesus in the wilderness. He does the same thing three times, mm-hmm. Testing three portions of Scripture where it's clear what God means with Scripture, but he brings a little doubt into it.
Yeah. I was just wondering if I can share a quick thought to make it very clear what might the apostle be bringing forth. First, we have to acquaint ourselves with that which is real, to know everything that is counterfeit. That's why the Word of God comes first, and then the false teaching comes second. Mm-hmm. That if I'm not acquainted with the Word of God, it's easy for me to go with every wind of doctrine. So we have to acquaint ourselves with the Word of God. But I don't think that the false teachers that he's talking about is something that is very subtle. I would say if anybody came to us in the midst today and he said, "Christ Jesus is not God," we recognize all that this is a false doctrine, right? We will all right away be able to discern that this is a wrong doctrine because we believe Christ Jesus is God. How about the subtle things? And the one that's really helped me tremendously for me to understand how these subtle false teachers bring forth certain things that might be really soft to our own ears, but the source behind them is evil. The portion that helped me was Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, there was a woman that was running after Paul as he was going day after day to the temple to pray. And you know what she was announcing? "These are the servants of the Most High God that will declare unto us the way of salvation." Now, what's wrong with that? This is where the false teachers come in. What's wrong with that? "These are the servants of the Most High God. They shall declare unto you way of salvation." What's wrong with it? Two things were wrong. First of all, no mention of Christ. The only way of salvation. That's why when Simon beheld the Lord Jesus, he says, "My eyes have seen thy salvation." The second, she was drawing attention toward men rather than toward the person of the Savior himself. And that's where you have to be very careful. You know what? They will come in a subtle way. They will use words that you are familiar with. But the intention behind it is to hinder you from Christ, make you follow after men, and really deny the work of the Lord Jesus that brought salvation. That's why we have these sayings, denying the Lord that have bought them. And that's another thoughts the brethren will help us with it. So I just want to share Acts 16 because it will help us to be able how to discern and to understand who is the motive or who is the source behind the message.
I think what you said about the source and the motive behind the message is important. I think we can recognize this isn't talking about just having a simple error in doctrine or even differences in doctrine. Romans 14 verse 1 says, "Accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters." This isn't talking about disputable matters or areas where one or the other person or believer still needs to grow, maybe doesn't have an appreciation of certain things yet. The operative words in verse 1, false teachers, someone who's promoting something that is false, secretly, and destructive, mm-hmm. and the result is they're even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them. Any heresy is going to take away in some way from the work of Christ, whether it's his deity or his incarnation, his virgin birth, his perfect life on earth, his death on the cross, what that death meant, or his resurrection or his future glory. Any false teaching is going to take away from that in some way. And it may just be the case that it shifts the focus onto us. But this isn't talking necessarily about just mistakes that we make.
Just two verses to add. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. Again, Paul writing in the context of the last days, that which is false that would come in. It says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. So the two sides of what takes place with when something that is false is entered. In Paul's day and Peter's day, there were the teachers, these are literal individuals, that known the word of God, knew what it said, had heard it through Paul and the apostles, and now they were bringing in, they were suggesting, teaching, saying that those things are not what they really mean. And so they brought in something that was false. Then there's the side of those who are the hearers, that in the last days they would fall subject to those teachings and they would not endure sound teachings any longer. They would heap upon themselves teachers. And what that means in the context of Peter is that when you become subject to false teaching, because either you don't know the word of God or it appeals to you, you begin to look for more false teachers that will say what you want to hear. That's why there's so many large numbers of so-called believers in stadiums of 20 and 30 and 50,000 people, where a man, and in some cases a woman, stands and says, here's what you have to do to be saved. Bring your money. We're going to build bigger houses and bigger cathedrals. Some will say in their ministry, not a mention of the name of Christ or his work. They will introduce the thought of that the change has to come from within you, right? The feel-good ministry, then the prosperity ministry. All of these things that are not true in the word of God. So we have to be careful that the false teachers, and in the context here, those false teachers of old, who moved secretly, it says here, to introduce and bring in something that was false, even denying the Lord that bought them. This is what happens with a false teacher. He very often doesn't start out that way. But because his heart is not solely won and settled upon the word of God, the enemy uses that. And now he's teaching something that is false. And they even get to the point. You say, how could that brother or sister get to that point where they even deny the Lord who bought them? They reached an end where they say, you know what? I don't really believe that anymore. How I believe you get to heaven is this way. And you say to yourself, what happened to that brother or sister? Because they had gone away from sound doctrine.